Welcome to the Boulder's 3D Spotlight Show. And to start our show, I'd like to introduce my co-host, Sam Sussman.
And I'd like to introduce our two eminent guests, Pilar Chizelle and Mariah Sussman Garcia.
Today's conversation is about a very, very special subject. We've been focusing on education, and one part of education that we don't really pay direct and full attention to is the special education aspect that is so prominent and so important in our community. And it's really very nicely done in BVSD. So we invited two leaders of this kind of education. So with that, let me ask Mariah. Mariah, what is your program at Boulder High School?
Okay, great. So we are both intensive learning center teachers, which is kind of a unique area of special education. We work with students who have multiple disabilities and usually an intellectual disability and have significant deficits in their adaptive skills, meaning doing everyday things independently, using the restroom, getting to and from their classes, walking safely in the community. That kind of stuff is significantly impacted for our students. And so because we work with students with more significant disabilities than other special ed teachers in the district, we have sort of a unique programming approach. Our students have a modified curriculum, which means that our curriculum we build to meet the needs of the students. So we're allowed to boil down that standard to the very basic, in some instances, most basic element for our students so that they can access whatever's being taught. And because of that, we also have the unique opportunity to be a little bit more creative with our teaching and our programming and to get out into the community. And that's often the place where some of our students really shine and where the most learning actually takes place, in the natural setting as opposed to in the classroom. So what we wanted to share to you with you all today is just some of the highlights of our getting out and about. The work we do in the classroom is important, but sometimes when we leave the classroom, we see a different side of our students and we're able to teach in a naturalistic setting and get some really exciting results. So that's what we wanted to share to you today with you today, are just some of those highlights.
Yes, thank you. And we're really looking forward to that conversation.
Pilar, what do you have to say to us?
Well, it's quite a journey working in special education. We get to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. We see a lot. And we work with kids who a lot of teachers don't typically get the chance to welcome into their classes for various reasons. But these are the kids we work with. They're kind of the extreme end of the spectrum of special education. But nowadays, especially in a district like Boulder, where they practice inclusion, an inclusive model where kids with multiple disabilities are welcomed into all classes, we get to educate these kids in comprehensive schools and really see how they adapt to their school community and also how the school community adapts to them. So there's a lot of neat programming that can happen to make all of those things fit into place.
Do you want to give us a specific example?
Yeah. One really beautiful program that has evolved since I've been at Boulder High School is something that's called A Chance to Dance. And when I started working in the ILC at Boulder High School in 2012, I was approached by two lovely young ladies in the student council there who had noticed on their own that kids with disabilities were not being included in school dances at Boulder High, and they wanted to rectify this. And when you think of teenagers who tend to be kind of self-involved human beings for various reasons, it's kind of astounding that these two young ladies noticed this problem and then wanted to take it by the horns and do something about it. So they approached me and had this idea for a program called A Chance to Dance, in which kids from the student council would invite kids from the ILC to attend school dances as sort of a group date situation. And they invited my students to come to dinner at a restaurant within walking distance of Boulder High, have that kind of dinner date experience among friends, before the dance, and then we would walk or roll, for those of us in wheelchairs, to back to the school for the dance. And these kids wanted to commit the first hour of every dance to dance with kids with multiple disabilities. And it became such a success. Even on that first night, they spent much more than the first hour dancing with my students. It became a night-long event. And this program just grew and grew. And from homecoming to winter ball to spring fling, it was such a popular program. We ended up having to tell kids we didn't have enough students to partner them with. And it was so beautiful to watch this natural interaction happen between typical teenagers and these students, also teenagers, but with multiple disabilities who aren't typically included in anything social in the high school realm, build relationships and learn to enjoy each other on the dance floor.
Can I ask what restaurant you went to?
Well, several over the years. Pasta J's was especially kind to us. They offered to pick up the tab for us one year. One year we were at the Med, which was always very kind to us. We were sitting a big, huge group, probably 30, 35 teenagers and a bunch of staff and some nice fellow sitting at a neighboring table offered to put $100 towards our bill. And so we've been to a number of places. Buffalo Ted's was another one. And it always surprises me how we were welcomed into restaurants and how people would notice us and want to ask questions and see what are we all doing there dressed up in our fancy clothes. Bunch of kids with clearly, you know, visible disabilities and a bunch of cool looking teenagers all hanging out together.
So what kind of impact do you think this kind of an activity has on students that are participating, both those that have disabilities and those that are sponsoring or partnering mm-hmm. for a special event like this?
In both directions, I would say immeasurable. You know, the most important thing to kids in high schools, and teachers probably cringe to hear this because we try so hard to make our lessons exciting and motivating, nothing compares to feeling accepted as a teenager in high school and being welcomed by another group of kids and feeling like you have a place there. And for my students, it's compounded because they have been excluded and isolated most of their lives. And so the chance to interact and feel like you are wanted by a group of cool teenagers at your high school, you can't measure that. And then in the other direction, we call them peer mentors. The peer mentors who accompanied our students to these dances, I think it was maybe even more profound to take oneself out of oneself and put yourself in the shoes of another, someone who is maybe the most vulnerable in your community, and feel what they feel and experience life through their eyes, and then get to help them and lift them up even just a little bit. You can't measure that.
And I think also, sorry, if I can just add something, even beyond the students who participated as peer mentors, I think at the dances, it's the inclusion of the students who have significant disabilities and how they just get out there on the dance floor and do their thing with a complete lack of inhibition brings the rest of the student population out also.
So no doubt.
Oftentimes it would be like we're there very early and nobody is dancing and our guys just get out on the dance floor. And we have this one specific student, we're changing his name for the purpose of the show, but named Jesse, who had a very specific dance where he would like rock back and forth and jump. And he had the whole dance floor at one point early on in the dance out there doing his dance, not in a mocking way, but just, you know, everybody has their inhibitions and is nervous to get out there. And once he got out there and did his thing, and then they all sort of joined in with him. And so I think even beyond the peer mentors, it brings everybody together at those dances.
Kind of ironic to think of our students being a guiding light, but yeah. Certainly in those situations, our students were the guiding light and drew everybody out into the dance floor.
What's the effect on the rest of the school?
I think the effect is also hard to measure and maybe subtle in some ways. But being included in high school is important for everybody. Everybody wants to feel a part of a group in high school in particular. And to see our kids being included in activities by some of the most popular, highest achieving students in the school is really kind of a lesson and a tip to the other kids that such a thing is possible. And if those kids can be lifted up and included, well, anybody can.
I think also for some students who are really struggling in high school, it puts in perspective a little bit. You know, maybe they see one of our students who has to use a wheelchair and then, you know, to walk, uses a walker and is out there trying really hard, and seeing that student doing their best kind of puts in perspective their challenges, not to make their challenges smaller in any way, but makes you realize, wow, if these kids can do it, if they can get out there and try their hardest every day, like, I can at least show up to my classes, and, you know, maybe it's not that hard.
So, Mariah, are you an ice skater?
I was an ice skater. I mean, I still am an ice skater, but I did spend a lot of my elementary and into middle school pursuing ice skating.
And so have you taught any of your students ice skating?
Well, I've attempted on different levels and to different degrees of success, and ended up with some really big falls as a result. But yeah, that's another one of the outings that we plan during finals, during the winter finals. We reached out to the people at Boulder Creek Events. Chris Daly specifically is the person who runs Boulder Creek Events, and he welcomed us into the ice skating rink that was actually by the Boulder Tea House. So we were able to take our students ice skating there, and it was definitely one of the highlights, something that our students still talk about to this day. So I can think of one student in particular, and we changed his name, but for this purposes we'll call him Kevin. And Kevin is in a wheelchair and has very limited mobility, and we knew we were going ice skating at Boulder Creek Events, so Pilar and I went to McGuckin's and tried to figure out a way to modify a sled for him to get him up and out of his wheelchair and more actively participating in our ice skating event. So we talked to this really nice guy at McGuckin's, and he sold us this deep sled and then a seat that we could, like a stadium seat that we could fit into the sled to give the student more support in his, like more lumbar support. And then talked us into a silicone spray that we could spray on the bottom of the sled so that he could go faster. So we spent quite a bit of time and energy into planning a way for this student to fully participate in the event. And I would say it was a success. Chris opened up the rink early for us and gave us all hot chocolate for free. The whole thing was free. And we were out on the ice and got all of the students out on the ice, and especially the student Kevin, who isn't someone who's always enjoying life to its fullest, at least not in the school building, smiling and zooming around on the ice skating rink. Our peer mentors were also really active in that event. So it was a great experience, and really getting to see how putting the work in on the front end to try to modify something can really pay off for our students.
You're listening to KGNU, and today we have two special guests. They're special education teachers working in Boulder, Pilar Chizel and Mariah Sussman Garcia, telling us about how to make education inclusive to all students. They're speaking with Raj Rawat and Sam Sussman on Boulder's 3D Spotlight, a show that looks at innovation in education.
So my question is, the kind of work you do day in and day out isn't just physical. It isn't just organizational. It requires mental and emotional connection to each one of your students and going the extra mile. And normally people would find it very taxing or even draining. How do you do it? And what inspired you to do this?
Well, I'm not going to argue with you, Raj. It is taxing. It's exhausting if done well. And we try and do a good job every day, and sometimes you come home and feel like a total failure, and some days you come home and feel like, I accomplished one thing that I've been trying to do for months, and I got to be happy with that. I don't know where the day-to-day inspiration comes from, but initially, when I first started working with kids with special needs in comprehensive schools, what I found was that the stories I came home with at the end of the day that I shared with my family were so damn funny and so uplifting, if not tragic, in the same moment, that I loved being able to share that with my family and seeing the responses on their faces and the laughter about these ridiculous situations you find yourself in special education. They were more interesting than anyone else's stories after a long work day. And so it kind of kept me coming back for more.
How about you, Mariah?
I think the inspiration for getting into special education for me is I have a cousin who has significant disabilities. And growing up, I don't think that we got to spend as much time with him as we would have, you know, a different family member who didn't have those challenges. But I was just drawn to the unique way that he communicated and saw the world and interacted with us, so much so that I felt like I wanted to be around him and learn him. I feel like it's an interesting challenge to be able to step back and look at the way a person's brain operates that's not like mine, and really think about the creative ways that you can get in. So I feel like that was the initial inspiration. And now the day-to-day, I don't know. This is the only group of students that I really love working with. And I love their energy. And I love when you do put in that energy yourself and you get those little moments, those little breakthroughs. To them, they're not little, and they're not, you know, something that's going to be easily forgotten. They are what made that day worth living and can maybe translate into, you know, a better life, a more inclusive life, a fun life that's filled with laughter and fun for those students as well. And I do find myself smiling and laughing most of the day, not all of the day, but most of the day. And I think there's very few jobs where that's the case.
Do you think special education teachers in general share the kind of values that you're talking about? Is that they bring and value stories about being in young students' lives so much that they're willing to invest so much of their own energy into it?
Well, I think all special educators work very hard and are very dedicated. It's not an easy job on any end of the spectrum. But there's something unique about working with kids with multiple disabilities who maybe are nonverbal, maybe are in a wheelchair, maybe want to beat you up half the time. But there are extreme moments of joy that happen with this group of kids that I don't think is found in other places.
So, Pilara, I understand you have a relationship with pumpkins. You want to tell us about it?
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far, but I would say at the ILC, we built a relationship with a pumpkin patch in the community, Cottonwood Farms. We, in the fall, decided as a community-based learning experience to get our kids out of the classroom and head out to a pumpkin patch, which might sound a little elementary, but we are rigorous teachers, so it was all about learning to use public transportation to get there, using money to make a purchase once there. But it was so much fun. The kids got to go around on the Cottonwood Farms pumpkin patch, go through the mazes, pick out their very own pumpkins. And I can tell you, while the place isn't handicap accessible, we got those wheelchairs out there and we're bumping over the lumpy soil and picking out pumpkins. And it was just a lovely experience for all the hard work of riding public transportation with a big group of developmentally disabled teenagers and accessing this pumpkin patch and everyone having a great time out there in the sun and the wind. One really great memory I have from this one particular day was with one of our students. We'll call him Bob. He just enjoyed the experience so deeply. He's a kid with cerebral palsy, so he had some physical access issues, but he loved it. He was able to go all over the pumpkin patch and picked his own very large pumpkin and stood in line and paid the cashier and went through all the steps. And you could just see the joy on his face afterwards. He was grinning ear to ear, and the owner, also named Bob, was very kind. Bob and Amy Condon are the owners of Cottonwood Farms. Was standing there at the end of the cashier line, and our student Bob went up to him and out of nowhere, very spontaneously, reached out and put his long arm around Bob's shoulder and thanked him in his way for this experience. And I have a feeling that the owners of Cottonwood Farms don't get that kind of thanks and gratitude every day. And it was just beautiful to see the joy of our student and his ability to spontaneously thank and show gratitude and enjoy such a simple activity. It really reinforces to us how important these little moments are.
So how does this fit into the community as a whole? You're describing people, when you go, they treat you nicely, they make accommodations, go the extra mile to create a memorable experience. And you obviously put in a great deal of effort and planning before you get out there. And the planning starts a long time before the event happens. And how do parents fit in this picture?
Well, it certainly takes a village. You know, from the kindness of RTD drivers and the kindness of business owners and just pedestrians making way for us. And also the parents, you know, some of our students don't have the money every week for their community-based excursions to practice making a purchase with their own money. So we really depended a lot on the kindness and generosity of other parents to send an extra $5 or whatever it might be so that all of our students could have those opportunities. It takes a whole lot of people contributing, not just money, but goodwill, time, effort, and kindness. And it pays off if you can see the joy on these students' faces.
I think also when it comes to our parents, the parents of the students in the ILC, we're asking them when we embark on our community-based education to sort of take a leap of trust and know that, you know, we're going to keep their kids safe in the community and that this is a really important part of their education. And I think parents have really come on board, and a lot of parents we've heard choose Boulder High over a different school because we have an active community-based instruction program and we do get the kids out into the community. So I think, you know, it takes trust, but it also is it's good because the parents are realizing the importance and we're kind of opening their eyes to some of the things that they also need to be working on outside of the school hours. Because to me, the most important thing that we can teach our students is to be active and appropriate and safe members of our community. So when they're out there practicing those skills, they're having fun, but they're also learning how to do that. And the community is learning how to be around them safely and appropriately and how to include them. So that would be our goal. I think that when they leave high school, our students are a part of the community that they have lived in for, you know, some of them 18 to 21 years before, you know, graduating.
Is the basketball team involved here?
Yeah. So we have a unified basketball program that is actually, it is a community venture in that it is special education students, but it's run through
Unified Sports?
Special Olympics is what I was thinking of. So it's a Special Olympics program called Unified Basketball. And basically what they do is bring together all of the different high school ILCs across the district for a unified basketball sports season. And what's unique about the basketball teams is that they're comprised 50-50 of students with significant disabilities and general education students. A lot of them members of the basketball team, so they really know their stuff. And so when they go out on the court, they're paired up. So one of our students will be paired up with, you know, another student who's maybe a member of the Boulder High basketball team, so they can really help to include the student and keep the game going. And it's a really cool program. We've gotten to take the bus and go out to other high schools, and the Boulder High home games, I think, were a highlight because our Boulder High band played at the games. So there was, you know, music playing, and the stands were relatively full of general education students and obviously parents of our students, and a lot of gen ed teachers and administrators showed up to support the team, which was really awesome, and I think a unifying event for all of our students, special ed and non-special ed. And then there's some some really cool moments from the Unified Basketball. One of them is the student Bob that Pilar was speaking about at the pumpkin patch. Like she was saying, he has cerebral palsy. He doesn't really have the use of his right side of his body and specifically his right arm, but he is an awesome basketball player. So he's throwing three-pointers left and right, you know, from way back, and it's amazing. Like, you can see the kids who are even on the basketball team, you know, Boulder High basketball team, looking at him in awe because he's just that good. And that is really cool. And we have another student who stands out from the Unified Basketball. We'll call him Chris, and he is not a gifted basketball player, maybe you could say, but has the energy and enthusiasm beyond what I've ever seen. And to watch him, you know, either make a basket or not make a basket, but really every time he got put out on the court, run back and forth, screaming at the top of his lungs and high-fiving every single person in the audience. We had people like hanging over the bleachers were up above, hanging over to just get a high five from him, and how pumped he was to be a part of the team and proud of himself he was for just getting out there was really cool, and made all of the sort of time and energy that Pilar and I put into helping it happen and coordinating on the back end, the support, worth it.
Pilar, tell us about Violet.
Well, let's call her Viola. Viola is an interesting character, and I'm going to give you a little bit of backstory about Viola, because it might clue you in a little to the struggle teachers face every day motivating students about the curriculum. It's no easy feat. So Viola is a kind of kid who doesn't do anything she doesn't want to do, and she almost never wants to do schoolwork. Usually when you've asked her to do a task, you will see her under the table, wailing, screaming, and all the singing and dancing and entertaining you can do as a teacher to get that kid working or up out of her seat participating almost always fails. Sometimes you feel as a teacher like you should get an Academy Award for all the entertaining you do to get kids excited about learning. But with Viola, it almost never works. There are some things that she loves. Viola loves pink. And she loves pink lip gloss and cherry cupcakes. And she loves Barbie's makeup tutorials on YouTube. She is 17 years old. Anyway, one time for a community-based excursion, a math excursion, we had the kids take the RTD down Arapahoe Avenue to Nordstrom Rack. And the idea was that after having measured themselves in class and made connections between their measurements and clothing sizes, they were supposed to go into Nordstrom Rack and find an outfit in their own size that actually fit their measurements, and then practice using money to make a purchase. So there's a lot of skills that go into this. It's not just like a fun shopping trip to Nordstrom's. So we show up at Nordstrom's. They're so kind. I don't even think we called ahead to say we were coming with a group of 17 developmentally disabled teenagers to take over their store at 10 a.m. on a Thursday, in addition to the staff and the peer tutors. But once we got there, it was like Viola came alive. And shopping, I think, is her calling in life. And for a while in the store, I was helping other students. I lost track of her. And then I found her in a dressing room in a complete outfit she had picked out for herself that fit very well, all in pink, of course, including a wide-brimmed pink hat, happy as a clam. And she had succeeded. She had achieved what we had come to do. She was enjoying herself. She had done it creatively. And all that work, day after day, month after month, of bribing this kid to come out from under the table to learn some math, it paid off in Nordstrom's. And I'm so grateful to the staff there.
Pilar, do you have anything else to say?
Well, I guess I would say that special education is always an adventure. You never know day to day how it's going to go. You know, we deal a lot with students who are differently abled and who learn differently and have various needs, including for their personal care. And we deal a lot with, you know, the adapting to life that happens in very unique situations that most of us take for granted and work through and suffer through in our day-to-day. And all of that is expounded when you have multiple disabilities. And so it's a challenge, but those extreme challenges allow us to feel the extreme joy that comes in those moments of glory when something actually works out for the class and the students, and we as teachers can feel like we've done something right.
You ladies are testimony that teachers are made of special steel. And for you to work with developmentally disabled, with multiple disability students, just shows how special you are and how rich our community is, because you contribute to shaping the future of young students' lives. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.